When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Willie Colon in for Boomer today. Boomer back tomorrow. The Texans defensive back Al Shire. Is it Abdul Al Shire? I forget his first name.
Aziz
Al Shire. He was suspended for 3 games for the hit on Trevor Lawrence. NFL just announced that. We expected a suspension, and that just happened. So wanted to get that out there. All right, I finally found that Evan Neal video by Brian Baldinger, the Baldy breakdown, and I showed it to you, a former NFL offensive lineman, and your thoughts on that are?
That was hard to watch. That was bad for TV. That's probably the worst I've ever seen, honestly. Wow. I've seen some pretty bad offensive line play. It looks like he was terrified of Micah Parsons, that he wanted no part. And listen, Micah Parsons is arguably one of the best to do that as a position right now. But that, I mean, there was no fight.
Yeah, he wasn't even trying. He was just going to the ground.
Getting slapped down.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I mean, this guy, he played at Alabama. He was a high draft choice. And he came in, looked like he was working hard and doing everything right. And then he had that rant about the fans, about like, oh, well, you guys would be flipping burgers at McDonald's caring about what I do. And then everybody turned on him, got benched at the beginning of the year, and now put that on tape on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, listen, you'd be surprised from the neck up. You know, guys are just, they're tapped out or they're burnt out. And sometimes when you step in a market like this where the criticism is all around you, and there's no, like I've talked about this before, there's no turnoff for the modern athlete, right? Between your phones, the TV, the people who are around you, somebody has a critique or something to say about you doing your job, but that's the price you pay right now for being a professional athlete. And if you're not mentally strong, or if you haven't built the callus to kind of be to build some type of resistance against the criticism, man, it can eat you up. And it looks by watching that, he's burnt out. Because, I mean, you can get beat once, you can get beat twice, but he got whooped all game. Like, yep. Whooped. And, I've also been a part of games where you were around Pittsburgh during my time when we were going against Baltimore. Like, one of my toughest guys to go against was Haloti Ngata.
Yeah.
And Haloti was just as big, just as fast, just as mean as I was, just as strong, just as willing to fight. And so you're like, man, what's my edge? What do I have over this guy? And I had nothing. So I just had to fight him for 4 quarters. If I'm Evan Neal, if you feel like Micah Parsons is your boogeyman, throw technique out the window. Go put hands on him. Go fight this. Go make this man feel like he's in a fight. That wasn't a fight.
No.
That was him giving up and trying to survive.
Yeah, Micah Parsons was in the backfield every single play, it felt like.
And Baldy was right. For those who haven't seen it, you can hear Baldy commentating. He goes, they tried to help him with chip help. They put a tight end next to him. They sent running backs after him. They did everything. Like, so much you can do.
Yeah.
You got to stand up and fight as a man out there.
When you said it was the worst you've ever seen, like, if you, like, think it's just a name pop into your mind where you're like, that's the worst guy I've ever played against. Like, it's like, is there a
played name? With or against?
Against. You're like, man, that guy stunk.
Oh, I can't think about it. There's been some bad guys. I just can't right now.
What about who you played with?
Oh, it's been a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really bad?
Like, to the point where I wanted to pack up their own locker room and escort them back to their cars.
Christian Hackenberg?
I wasn't there for Hackenberg.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
Yeah.
But he probably would have been one of those guys you would have packed his stuff.
I probably would have never talked to Christian Hackenberg. Probably would have never said nothing to him. Just to be honest.
Yeah.
Because of all the Penn State stuff.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He's definitely involved, you know. Yeah. Oh, man. Do you have a name?
Of people who I've played with that are
terrible?
Yeah.
Had to be one.
There's a couple, man. We had a backup center with the Jets, and it was Caleb Slaughterhoff.
Yeah. Sounds terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he was built like a bag of laundry. Like, he was just... This wasn't...
No muscle. Just fat. Just, yeah.
It's like a mattress salesman. It's built like that. Just soft and pillowy.
Sort of like me. That's what I'm built like. I feel like I'm like if a recliner came to life.
Right. Yeah, he was built like that. Yeah. We had another kid my one time with the Jets, man. He went to Michigan, too. And he was just, he would, like, we would do one-on-ones, and he would get beat in a one-on-one, and he would just stop. Like, he wouldn't move. Like, he wouldn't turn around to acknowledge the guy that just beat him. And we would be looking at him like, finish the play. And he would just be, like, stuck in this move, and he'll just walk to the line of scrimmage. Like, if it never happened.
Yeah.
And I remember our office line coach at the time, Larry Zinnerline, was like, finish the rep. And he would just stare like this. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, how do these guys that were so good, like, made it to the NFL, like, get there and be so bad?
Neck up, brother.
Yeah, that's what it is.
When you're confident and you just, it's hard for guys to kind of regain that. And
yeah.
When you get to this level and life hits you, like, man, I think I don't have it, and all that rhetoric starts to happen. You see guys start to wilt, man, it's tough.
Yeah. Like, I remember a friend of mine used to say, who was in sports, he said, you know how good you have to be that bad in pro sports? Like, because you had to be really good to get there to be that bad.
Yeah.
It just was amazing. You talk about a guy from Michigan who you would think show up in the NFL, at least show some fight, something.
He would just be stuck. Like, if somebody put a, like, he got caught in the headlights. And we'd be the whole, but... He would look at everybody else. We'd all be looking at him like, what just happened? Did you have a stroke in the middle of your rep? Why are you stopping?
He didn't make it very long.
No, he was gone.
It was like training camp gone.
Coaches will always respect the guy that fights and scraps, that doesn't have the talent to kind of be on par with everybody else.
Yeah.
But if you just give up and things aren't turning over, man. It's nothing they could do.
And it's like sort of like training camp stuff. Guys, undrafted guys that come in, those are generally the ones who just were awful.
No, those are the guys who show up, actually.
Okay.
It's the guys who actually do come from these big programs. And I think because they've been so coddled and kind of, they walk into a situation where they should be loved. And it's a dog. When you get to NFL training camps, it's doggy dog.
Well, that's what I think happened with Evan Neal, to be honest with you. I mean, he was, you know, but he wasn't coddled by Saban, though. Like, he wouldn't have been coddled by him. I don't know. Man.
They were winning. He was a part of a winning situation.
It's true. And he had that week, because when he came in, it was like, it was with Kayvon Thibodeau, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and him. And he was the one who was like the quietest out of everybody. Those other guys were big personalities. And I was like, man, this guy, like,
but he's watching that tape, not to cut you off, and I apologize, that's a lot of his issues is mechanical.
Yeah.
I can tell by the way his feet, his head going down, lazy with his hands, not aggressive at the point of attack, not getting his helmet play side to kind of cut those things off. A lot of that is just. That's coaching. A lot of that's technique stuff that he should not be able to. I mean, you're going to have bad days. There's times when I've seen myself play. I'm like, who taught you that, Willie?
Yeah.
Right. But you're able to acknowledge you're able to acknowledge that's not you. One, and there's a right way and there's a wrong way of doing things. And when you don't kind of fix bad habits, they grow.
So you think that, you know, people call up all the time and ask this question. So you think that, you know, Evan Neal's being taught these things, it's just not happening, or he's just not being taught the right things?
No, I think from the neck up, his confidence is shot. And two, he's not, whatever he's being told, it's not transferring onto the field.
Yeah.
And so when I see that, that's a confidence situation. That's a not believing in himself that he can execute at that level. And especially when you got a dog like Micah Parsons beaming, like, that yeah. kills you. And listen, I've been on the edge. I've been, you know, when I was my time with Pittsburgh, I was on the edge. Man, it's real out there. You know, when they slide that protection across from you and you're looking at Terrell Suggs or Tamba Ali or Van der Bosch, and you're like, hey, man, your backside one-on-one, it's a doggy-dog world out there. So your technique and your confidence have to come into play when you're playing at this level, especially in big games.
Man, Terrell Suggs was so ugly.
Man, he was hard on us.
Ugly person. Yeah. Like when he would throw that helmet and that face, and he would just be like, rah! You know, and he'd come around the edge, and you'd see him after a sack, and he just looked like an alien was in that helmet.
Like somebody microwaved him. Like somebody threw him on 20 minutes. High heat.
I know. I bet you had like bad breath, too. Like I could just picture that happening.
Smell like a bag of barf.
Oh, those Raven Steeler games were just amazing.
They were fun.
Back in the day, and you know, and Flacco and Ben, and then just back and forth, and just the God, it'd be like 7-6, and you'd be beating the hell out of each other. It's crazy.
Going to halftime, popping Advils, got a whole another half.
That's great, though, man. Like, do you think that those, like, actually, they played kind of a similar game like that this year, the two of those teams.
That's always going to be the rivalry. It's always going to be back and forth.
As long as those head coaches are still there, right?
I agree. Yeah,
they're the culture guys. So right. I mean, it's sort of just it remains. Like that's the only thing that's remained is those guys. I mean, the players have changed 50 times over.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just the brand. And like the one thing that makes the Steelers great right now, they're doing the most with what they have. Right? Like everybody thought Russ was going to be like, man, we seen him in Denver. It's not going to work.
Yeah,
they're playing to Russ' strengths. Right? They're running the ball at a high level. They're allowing him to throw the moon ball. He's gotten better. Like last game, I was concerned for Russ because he wasn't throwing in the middle of the field, right? Everything was to the outside, dink and dunk, get explosive plays out of the run game. Now he's attacking the middle of the field. He's getting fair more involved in the offense. The offensive line is fighting like they know. I know they can. And the defense is just lights out. So it's typical Steeler football.
Yeah. And I mean, Russell Wilson is a guy that has always had issues like getting along with people in the locker room. And
I don't know if he had issues.
Well,
I think
Pete Carroll basically said it when he left, how important it was for them to beat him in his first game when he was with the Broncos and the Seahawks played him. I mean, he came out and said, this is Pete Carroll. Man, it meant a lot to those guys in that locker room. And he's like, well, why?
I think you can guess why.
I think they just hated him. I think he's separate. And you ask any of those guys on that, like, Legion of Boom defense.
Sure.
Like they didn't get along with him. Like they
didn't mind when they were going to NFC championships and winning Super Bowls.
True, but you know they can respect.
I'm okay with hating a guy. Like that's my whole thing with Aaron Rodgers. I don't care how smug Aaron Rodgers is. Yeah. I don't care that he's cocky or whatever. It only bothers me when you don't play well, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm okay with a guy being whoever, but if you play well, then that's just who you are. Kobe. Kobe is as great as he was. Doesn't get a great rap, right, for being a teammate.
Right.
But he was Kobe Bryant. Michael Jordan didn't get the rap for being the best teammate.
Yeah, there's like a whole, like Luke Longley, Scottie Pippen, and somebody else are like on a Last Dance redemption tour out there. Like they're actually like going to
telling
small,
their,
just to say their side of the story.
Yeah, at a local BW near you. Like, see Luke Longley and Will Perdue just sitting down. With two mugs of beers talking about the old days.
Yeah, trying to clear their names from The Last Dance. Jordan
But nobody cares.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Because it's all about winning the ring.
Yeah, but that's why, I mean, Russ, when he was playing bad in Denver and him being him with that personality of his, and then Sean Payton, just they could not wait to get rid of that guy.
Well, Sean came, once he got hired, he went downstairs and said, hey, where's Russ?
Yeah.
Bring him to me now so I can chew on his head.
Yeah,
that little side locker room? No.
Right. I know. And he had his own office apparently there too. Ugh.
Yeah.
And see, that's the type of stuff I would imagine that the rest of the players in the locker room are like, what are you, nuts?
Especially when you're losing.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be the difference maker.
Right. Well, Nate Hackett might have had something to do with that too.
Oh, that guy. Start with Nate Hackett.
You know, Tiki's really close to him. And
what does that mean?
Tiki Barber and Nate Hackett are friendly, and Tiki gets mad when the guys on his show criticize Nate Hackett. It's surprising to me. There was actually a moment, I don't know, you probably don't have it, but it was a moment where Tommy Lugauer, one of the guys who works on the afternoon show, was, you know, ripped Nate Hackett for something, and Tiki's like, keep my friend's name out your mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. I was like, how about that?
Yeah. I know, it's a tough one. It's hard to defend Nate Hackett.
Well, then I thought there was an opportunity when Aaron got hurt and you had Zach Wilson, you still had legit pieces on the Jets offense for him to be more creative and do a better job, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And the offense wasn't good, and it was stale and stagnant, and Zach seemed like he regressed.
I mean, he was a jockey, Nate Hackett.
What do you mean, a jockey?
He just jumped on Secretariat's back and won the Kentucky Derby. That's what he did.
You know, like, I mean, on a horse?
Yeah, like he was
That wasn't his nickname from
No. Like, he rode Aaron Rodgers' greatness during that time when Matt LaFleur was calling the plays and Aaron Rodgers still had talent. And because he was funny and did his gold member references and Aaron Rodgers thought he was, you know, like, could mess around with him, he just was a security blanket. But when he was actually thrust in the position to actually do something, he realized that he was brain dead.
Yeah.
There you go. Does that make sense?
I get it.
Yeah. I mean, Mike McCarthy and Matt LaFleur, those guys were calling the plays, like, for Aaron Rodgers. Nate Hackett wasn't calling the plays. Nate Hackett was just there to, like, you know, to put some baby oil on Aaron's butt. That's all he did.
Is that where you put it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was with baby powder is what I meant to say.
You got to stay off the internet. Yeah.
Not just baby powder. Yeah. That's what it was.
That's aggressive.
Yeah. Baby oil. I was thinking baby oil with the Diddy freak offs. That's when I was in my head now.
I want nothing to do with this conversation for a minute.
But did you ever get invited to one of those?
No.
No?
No. I had nothing to do with it. I was never invited. Thank God.
Did you hear about him? Like, as you were, like, you would be in an inner circle, you might hear about it, like, being, like, a famous football player in New York at that time.
I wasn't that famous. That's a different level of elitism to get invited to those parties.
Yeah, but you could have found your way in there. You could have. I'm a New York Jet. I'm making X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
I won a Super Bowl. I got a Super Bowl ring. You could have found your way in one of those things.
Yeah, I was.
If you wanted to.
Not looking for the local Diddy parties.
But, like, yeah.
I was trying to create my own parties.
Yeah. But, like,
all not Diddy-esque, by the way.
Like all legal stuff, right?
Oh, extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of, like, the weird sex trafficking. You weren't into that.
Nope.
No, I didn't think so. You didn't seem like a sex trafficking guy to me when I met you.
That was,
Yeah. It's tough.
Extremely tough.
Tough spot.
I like freedom.
Yeah. And he's in jail as we speak right now.
That's what they say.
Oh. Where are we going with that?
I don't know. Don't want to go anywhere. Then we're talking about the Jets.
So you're telling me you don't think Diddy's actually in jail?
I'm not saying anything. And you're not going to have me here telling conspiracy Diddy stories on the Fan.
Hell, we asked Al Dukes, first of all, this is the place to do it. Because Al Dukes asked Aaron Rodgers about a Malaysian airline disappearance conspiracy theory on the show when we were at training camp. And it made, like, national news. So this is the place to do it.
And what did Aaron say?
He said, go ahead.
He wasn't, he said he didn't look into it as deeply as I did, but it seems interesting.
But he didn't necessarily believe it at face value. And then the guy who came up with this theory, like, responded and said, I want to thank WFAN so much for bringing this to the world.
Oh, so you guys are heroes now?
Yeah, so you could be a hero if you give us your Diddy conspiracy.
I got nothing.
Where are they stashing them?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
But not in jail is what you're saying.
I don't. I want to go back to my wife and my kids, and I do not want to be harassed about Diddy conspiracies.
All right.
I want no part of that.
I know, I get it.
He's begging me to go back to bad-mouthing teammates.
Right.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service.
A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Fanatics has announced plans for the return of Fanatics Fest NYC, which will take place from June 20th through the 22nd, 2025. At the Javits Center in New York City, the multi-day event transforms New York City into the epicenter of fandom, collecting, and culture. In 2025, we'll bring together even more of the preeminent athletes, leagues, teams, and brands under one roof for an experience like no other. From December 5th through the 8th, fans who attended Fanatics Fest this year will be eligible to purchase tickets for the 2025 event during an exclusive pre-sale. The general public on sale will begin on December 13th. More information is available at fanaticsfest.com. We've got a pair of tickets to go see Usher coming up between now and 10 a.m.
Did you enjoy the Usher halftime show, Willie, at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I knew a lot of the songs.
We were still there at that point, right at the game, at the halftime.
Oh, yeah, I caught they had the Usher dollar bills coming
That's
down.
That's right. I actually have one of those in my office still. That's
you
right.
Caught the dollar bill?
Yeah.
I don't think the dollar bill was for you.
No. It was for everybody, man.
Oh, okay.
There was millions of them. And I kept it for keepsake, you know? Say, I was there at that Super Bowl, saw Usher perform.
Yeah, most people keep the ticket. You keep the dollar bill that was thrown from Usher.
Yeah, but we don't have the tickets. They're all digital. Yeah, now,
that
right?
Stinks.
Yeah, so you don't even have to have a hard copy of the ticket anymore.
Jerry, are you an Usher guy?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Are you? I mean, Usher was like right in your wheelhouse. We're about the same age. Like,
yeah, Confessions. I love it. Yeah, I'm pro Usher. I'm not against Usher. I dig it. I saw him perform at SS Fest in New Orleans. It was good. It was good for the. It's for the ladies. It's not for.
Yeah. But you can get into it if it comes on. You can be like,
It's a couple tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll slow groove too.
Yeah,
but I'm not in the shower.
Right, but the Little John one, like you know, that one.
Yeah,
that one. So that's for everybody. That's not just for the ladies.
I feel like that's one of your favorite songs.
No, it's just that's the one. You know, if you're going to pick one Usher song, that's the one.
You know, speaking of songs, when I was driving from Vegas to California the other day, a Dua Lipa song came on from 2015.
Okay. What was it?
How old was she?
2015.
Yeah.
Sure about that?
It said 2015 on, and I never heard the song before. I thought
she
you might
wasn't
know.
Really, Be the One, was it?
Maybe.
Was
I didn't
like her
know
first
it.
One. Yeah.
What was she? And she must have been a teenager, right?
So we're...
Were you upset about this?
Hold on.
No.
So this is what year now?
I think it was 2015.
So no, it's just 2024 now?
Yeah.
All right. So it's 28. So we're talking about 19. But I don't think she was doing anything at that point.
I'm telling you.
It must have been a mistake.
No, it was on the satellite.
I have one here. It's called New Love. New Love.
I don't even know this one. 2015.
This want me to fall
this
right
is some
little?
Deep tracks, man. If this is what you were getting.
This is it. This
really?
Is it. Yes.
Wow.
And I kept it on like Dua Lipa, like 20, however long ago it was.
It must have been 18 or 19.
Yeah. This is absolutely it. I heard it on the satellite.
She must have a deal with CBS because she was on 60 Minutes and now she's doing a concert like on CBS, December 15th.
When is she on Boomer and Geo?
Never.
You know, Boomer and Geo Live 5?
Lily, if you're wondering what the hell is going on, Greg is obsessed with her.
Well, I know, it's obsessed.
I checked out 2 minutes ago.
In a healthy way.
Yeah, I could tell. You're like, just waiting.
When Jerry said, you know, was she 15? I'm just like, my mind went into a white room.
No.
I started drawing on the words until I got felt they called my name again.
She's 20. She's 29. There we are together. Look at that. Me and her.
So you're a big fan.
Oh, yeah. It was from the get-go. Yeah.
Why?
Back in the day. Oh, because she's brilliant, beautiful, has one of the great voices I've ever heard. I mean, and it's not just me who thinks her voice is great, by the way. Andrea Bocelli brought her in to do a performance. Chris Stapleton had her do.
She's doing Porsche commercials, right?
And she's doing that. Yep. That's me handing some gift they told me to stage for a picture, handing her something. Yep, there you go.
Gummy so you're shark. A fan. That's good for you.
Yeah. No, she's...
She looks so happy in the background.
Yeah, me and her father became close. Dua Lipa.
That's a stretch.
I've got his. We text. Me, Dua Lipa, and a man named Ahmed Khan. I'm serious.
I know you're serious. I know.
Eddie wants to poo-poo everything, but this one you cannot poo-poo. Gina was like, could not understand. We went to Saturday Night Live, and I saw Dua Lipa after I just seen him at that meet and greet. And he recognized me, came up, pounded a hug. And she was like, what is happening? How is Dua Lipa's father picking you out of a crowd?
Are you getting the Christmas cards? Are you?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I think they've probably forgotten about me
at this point.
It was a small stretch there where I was in their world.
Pretty good window.
It was. Yeah, it was May. It was early May, and now I'm out of their world. Now that's it. The Lipas have moved on.
hence my
bye,
point. Was valid, yeah.
Wasn't he somewhere overseas texting you in the middle of the night?
He was. No. Ahmed Khan was.
Oh, okay.
But Dua Lipa was at Mirage in Brooklyn at like 5 a.m. And he had sent a text message to that thread. Yeah.
You were part of it.
And I believe Ahmed Khan was in the Ukraine during that time. So that's like this. Talk about the weirdest text thread of all time.
That is out there.
Yeah.
Where did you leave anything in the thread? You just watching?
I could go back and show you. Okay. I'd have to go through it. I think it all, you know what I left was the selfie that me and Dua Lipa took. That's what I put in there. To be like, hey, I actually was around you. Do you remember? Yeah.
They'll probably never talk to you again.
No.
Were they just texting each other and like you just happened to be
Ahmed like was like, hey, this is my guy Gio. You guys hung out.
Who is this guy, Ahmed?
He may be a spy.
Okay.
Maybe a spy.
Yeah, he's like a international man of mystery.
So he doesn't have a title.
So you're going to be indicted in a year?
No. He does good things. He's like a he does.
Oh, he's a good spy.
He's a good spy.
Okay.
No. I don't know about a spy. I joke around with spy, but he helps out. And you know who introduced me to this man? Bob Gelb of all people. Very strange.
Right. There was some weird connection.
I don't know. And Bob, this guy Ahmed also got Vicky, who works here, into Andrea Bocelli's house. For a private performance.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I think Gio just joined a cult. He doesn't even know it.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? For a little bit, being in a cult, everybody like-minded, and then all of a sudden...
Until they slit your throat.
Right, exactly.
You.
But it'd be fun for a little bit. It's like a cult sounds great, like, in the beginning. It's like everybody's like, man, this is awesome. And
so you walk around
together and...
So you're walking around a thong and an animal head.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That happens.
And that's the end of that. But anyway, I digress. Jerry?
In other news, Jerry.
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
I figured it was a fitting time. That was Jameis Winston, who threw two pick sixes last night. And the Broncos lost to the Browns 42-31. Nick Bonino had one, and Jaquan McMillan had this one. That is being shown on CBS Sports Network right now. Winston threw for 497, four touchdowns, but intercepted three times as the Browns fall to 3-9, not 40-9. And the Broncos now 8-5. Here was Bo Nix, went out, got it done.
But it was just a complete team win. You know, we made our plays, got a lot to grow from, and then they made their plays. They got a lot to grow from. So It's good to have a bye week this week, and then, you know, we're going to come back and grow from it.
Come back and grow from it. Knicks in the win, 294, a touchdown. He was picked off a couple of times, but played relatively well as the Broncos, as we say, are 8-5. Some other things from the NFL. Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason both headed to the IR for the Niners. McCaffrey, a PCL injury, and it turned out Mason suffered a high ankle sprain in that loss to the Bills the other night. A loss to the Bills that really fired up on Adam Schein in a good way in terms of the way he viewed this
what
game.
What doesn't fire up Adam Schein? You know what I'm saying? Like a Triscuit can fire him.
Yes, that is true, but it is the Christmas season, and some people are feeling very seasonal, if you will, like Schein did when watching Josh Allen play the other night.
Josh Allen, sensational. He is Superman. John Elway meets Paul Bunyan meets Santa Claus dashing through the snow. Are you kidding me? Giving out gifts to Bills Mafia. He's like Oprah. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. I'll give myself a touchdown.
Paul Bunyan, Santa Claus, and Oprah.
Yeah, that's a weird combination there.
That one is an interesting one, yes. So he certainly had fun with that.
John Elway meets Jesus Christ.
Who meets Moses?
Oh man.
And then all of a sudden Gail King's in the mix. Friend of Oprah.
Aziz Alshire suspended 3 games by the NFL. It came down a little while ago. Meantime, yesterday, here was D'Amico Ryans talking about the hit on Trevor Lawrence. And he does start. He says, you know, it shouldn't happen. We're sorry he's hurt. But he also would come out and say maybe it's part of the quarterback's fault, too.
It's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now, you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy's thinking. You don't know if a guy's standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you're, you know, you hit the guy.
And so, that's which I think a lot of us have said, too.
Yes.
And a lot of these quarterbacks, they bait for that flag, right? They kind of, we see it all the time.
Patrick Mahomes does it a lot.
That's exactly where I was going. Like, I've seen Mahomes actually slow down, lean his body into the defender.
And they keep going.
And they, and they'll run scamper for 10 yards, or he gets the flag he wants. So it's tough for these defenders. They don't know how to call it. It's a very bang-bang situation. And
this one still, with all that being said, which I can't argue with any of it, this one still looked really bad.
It looked bad because, Trevor was frozen. He had that whole fence thing going on.
Yeah, plus, there is a history with this dude.
Like he's asleep right now.
Yep, I know. Yeah.
Bulls beat the Nets 128-102. Tonight you've got the Knicks and the Magic, part of the NBA Cup games. Former Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, so this is interesting, just the way it's positioned on social media. So just, maybe 2 weeks ago, he was pushing for the Democrats and Kamala Harris. And yesterday he was on the Hawk Tua podcast.
Oh, was he? Does he still look like a lesbian? Or has he changed that look?
He looks fine. Oh. And so here he did, he was revealing an odd situation he was in one time.
I actually got sued by somebody who said I did a sex tape with Lamar Odom, Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian. And somebody else.
You ever hear that one before?
No.
He did a sex tape with Lamar.
No. He would not be invited into that mix there. There's no way.
He said he got sued?
That's what he said. I don't know how. Why he would be sued. Maybe they sued him for filming it. I don't know.
Who's tapping Mark Cuban in? That's the best.
I don't know.
That's a horrible roster.
I do not know. I'm not sure.
So he was on Talk Tua?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That is amazing.
Where she pitched to him Pootie Pickles.
Pootie Pickles.
And he said no.
What is it?
It was like a product she came up with. For like Shark Tank. So they came up with a product to see if he would invest. He wouldn't invest.
But what do we know?
They were pickles.
Pickles that she put in her pootie?
I'm just telling you what they were called.
I want nothing to do with that.
I didn't say that.
Maybe it had a little extra spice.
I wasn't...
I don't know, your booty pickles.
That's what they were
Sounds
called.
Sounds like booty pickles.
She showed him a jar, and he's like, no, absolutely not. So, yes, wow. He was on the Tua, what was it called? The Tua.
Talk Tua.
Talk Tua. There
you
Hawk
go. Tua.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny.
Do you want a pickle? Eat a pickle.
Yeah.
The beautiful pickles.
The Devils beat the Rangers 5-1. Tonight, the Islanders are in Montreal. And that's pretty much that. All right, time now for Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by, of course, the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Añejo Blanco, Cristalino Reposado Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
Wow. had to give it a double one there.
So no, this was reaction, obviously, from the Jets' lousy season with Joe B. Joe B sometimes can be a little extreme with how he's doing, how the Jets make him feel. He was on with Evan and Tiki yesterday. This is a new one for me.
Yesterday's loss was so bad. I mean, we have seen so many brutal losses over the years, and this season has been just one hideous loss after another. Mm-hmm. This loss was so bad yesterday that I actually got COVID from it.
I mean, and it's even worse than the 2018 team that gave me herpes. That, I thought that was bad. But this one now, I got COVID. Bro. Yeah, he in that Zoom looked awful. Like, because he was sick.
Well, he's clearly got COVID.
He's
COVID
pale.
From the L.
Yeah.
And think about Geno Smith, Lincoln Thomason, yeah. Big Cat had a day, all former Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just to rub salt in the wound, you yeah. know?
Revenge game.
And yeah, we all know that the Chinese released this virus. Did you get into that?
No.
To get Trump out of office. We all know that.
I didn't
know. We all know that. Out of that lab in Wuhan. You going to tell me that was from a wet market and a bat? Bro. My ass. You know what they did? They leaked that out. We all know this. And now I got it.
There you go. Moment of the day.
Very good, Jerry. Thank you. We will see you tomorrow. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So on TMZ, Jazz Chisholm enjoying his... Oh, by the way, you know, before I bring this up, you know a lot of people make that mistake and call him Chaz Chisholm.
What?
Yeah. We have like a whole host of people making that mistake.
Chaz Chisholm?
Yeah. They say Chaz Chisholm instead of Jazz Chisholm. And Eddie, I'm sure, will pull up a few of them for you, but I saw him really. Yeah. There's one. Yep. There's many. We had John Sterling saying it, Ed Coleman, many of the great broadcasters throughout the years.
I don't think it's a hard one, right? There's some hard names out there to get out. I don't think that's one of the hardest ones.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you make that mistake and you say Jism in that way, yeah. it's going to make people
especially
laugh.
When you're in your 50s.
Chaz Chisholm.
See? I mean, that's John Sterling really, really pronouncing it. Laying it on thick with the jism.
Chaz Chisholm.
That's oh, another man. One, yeah.
That one sounded
that was Keith Hernandez. Yeah. That was actually Keith Hernandez, believe
poor
it or
Keith.
Not. Yeah. Did we get Boomer to say it at one point, like by mistake? No. I don't think he did. But there were many others. But so he was really enjoying his offseason. I saw
Jizz. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's another one.
So he was down in Miami. Enjoying himself, and he's like smoking a blunt and like had a drink in his hand. And I was thinking, you know, like the attitude towards, and I'm happy it has, but like the attitude towards like an athlete smoking weed in 2024 has changed so much. Like if a New York Yankee, even what, 5 or 6 years ago, was on TMZ smoking a blunt, like people would be like, oh my God.
It'd be front page.
Like honestly, it
would be front page.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like...
Yankees are going down.
Right. Look at this loser.
Right.
Right. It's the gateway drug.
I'm happy it's the stigma is starting to get erased because I think a lot of guys have talked openly and honestly how it affects their day-to-day in a positive way.
Well, especially in the NFL and pain management and like, you know, that was the big thing. Like so many guys back in the 90s and early 2000s were hooked on these pain pills that were given to them, and then like you know guys got away from that and started.
And it also matters what you're doing with the blunt in your head and where you're at.
A
guy smoking a blunt on a beach in Miami after coming out of the World Series seems like something you should be doing.
You're fine,
right?
But if you're on second base, you know, right. That's probably not the time to be lighting, sparking it up, I would imagine.
If you're walking down a freeway with cars in incoming traffic and you're smoking a blunt, that's a problem.
Right. That is a problem. But yeah, that guy seems like he enjoys himself, that Jazz Chisholm.
You almost got me there.
I almost did it again. Yeah. I said, you're a big Yankee guy. You've talked about that many times. Yes?
I am. I'm like everybody else.
trying to figure out where Soto's going. Right. I know you refuse to talk about it.
I know. I told you about it. But it's okay. If you want to say something about it, you can.
No, obviously I want him to be the Yankees, be with the Yankees. I think the Yankees, but I don't want the Yankees to break the bank, so to speak. Like, give them everything.
Yeah.
Well, we're left with nothing to spend to kind of help our roster out.
Can you pay him more than Judge?
Yeah. I mean, Judge said he's fine with that. He said it's not his money.
Yeah.
I mean, Judge is, what, making 47 annually?
It's 40, I think, right?
40 annually or something like that?
I think it's somewhere around 40.
I'm totally fine with that. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's different market, different player. Judge was 30 when he hit free agency. The other guy, 26.
26?
Yeah.
Batting title, World Series, coming off an MVP type year. Paid him in. It would piss me off, you know, being a Yankees fan. He lands with Steve Cohen, and I know Cohen has the deepest pockets possible.
Would you rather see him a Red Sox or a Met?
I go back and forth.
Really?
That's actually
a question for you?
It is.
Wow. I thought you'd say Met would be much better.
I think he really wants to be a Yankee, but I think...
That's what every Yankee fan says, but I don't know. Like, I mean, that's what every Yankee fan wants to believe.
Of course.
I don't know. I mean, he's going to go to someone's going to give him $700 million. He's going to go to that team. That's what's going to happen.
What do you think the minimum is?
$650 million.
Think so?
Yeah. I'm going to give him 15 years. I'm going to give him 15 years. Watch. 15 years at what would be $55 million, maybe? What would that be?
The AVN, right? 50?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Anybody do math quick in their head?
Al looks like you can do math.
Nah, see, that's too much. 15 times 50. Yeah. 15 years, $50 million a year, $750. I think it'll be somewhere in there. I really do, when it's all said and done.
I just want it to be over.
Yeah, we all do.
I think everybody's just ready for it to be over. Just plant your flag and let's get on with life.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why we barely talk about it. I just want to get your take quickly as a Yankee fan on this turf.
I want to be a Yankee, but the more and more you hear the rhetoric, it doesn't seem like it's really going to happen. They're going to make a hard push at it. I don't know if he's down with hometown discounts. I don't think that's in his blood. I don't think he's that type of guy. So he's going to go to the highest bidder.
Probably, and I think it's actually going to happen before these winter meetings start. Those are the rumblings in the next 9 days or so.
Do you think the Blue Jays have a chance?
No, I do not.
You think it's all just fluff?
I don't think he goes to Toronto. Who wants to go to Toronto?
Toronto got a popper.
You think so?
They got
really?
Some things out there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Toronto's a damn good city.
Huh. I didn't think that. I thought Montreal was the place that had the things popping.
Those are the Turkish baths. Yeah.
Turkish baths in Montreal.
Yeah. But Toronto.
Isn't that a gay thing?
I'm not sure. Considering I'm a happily married man, father of two.
I thought the Turkish bath joke was like a gay thing. Anybody?
Al? No?
I think it used to be.
Not aware, yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you see, like, I don't know if you have this in your Long Island shore towns, but every once in a while in, like, an old Jersey shore town, you'll see a building that says bathhouse. That's weird.
Yeah.
Frequent by jazz jism.
Like, does that just mean showers for the beach, or are you taking baths in there?
Yeah. I would hope it's just getting the sand off you. If there's just some grown man in there in a bath, that's a problem.
You can't see in there. You have to go in if you're going to go in to see.
Mm. Don't go in. That would be my advice. Stay out of there.